Hello and welcome back to the Checkpoint Reach podcast. I'm your host Luke Eldon, and today we've got the old gang back together again because we're joined by Matty Sudden Perks. How are you doing, guys?
Hello.
Good. Three amigos
once in a lifetime,
whatever you want to say.
This is.
I'm back.
This is. I mean, so, miracles.
Three amigos, even though there's four of us.
Well, yeah. Yeah, that wasn't including the host introducing us. So, you know.
I mean, with the ongoing situation, it could quite literally be once in a lifetime as well.
That is very true.
You never know.
But yeah, obviously we're stuck in self-isolation like pretty much the rest of the world, excluding a few countries, I believe. So anyone out there who's listening, we hope you're safe and well and obviously healthy. Just got to keep indoors and for the time being, and hopefully this will all drop off pretty soon. But what games have you guys been playing while stuck in self-isolation?
Well, I guess we've been playing a lot of Gears, haven't we?
We have, yeah. Went back to Gears.
Well, we went back to Gears 5 and we played a bit of Gears Ultimate last night as well. So
yeah, well,
I've been playing, well, you
played
a bit of Gears
played
Ultimate.
Played
well,
Gears Ultimate as a bit of an over-exaggeration.
Searched for matches on Gears
Ultimate.
Well,
no, we won.
Friend of the podcast, Ted Parry, telling everyone that you can play a game. Yeah, you can if you log on at 1 a.m. in the morning and go on the US servers.
Yeah, you
really
do have to go
being
to, be
able
fair,
to
yeah,
play
I
a
mean,
game, is it?
Like, last night, we managed to get quite a few games in last night, but yeah, it is on the US servers, which obviously gives that bit of lag, which is not ideal.
That cannot be fun.
No, it was actually quite fun last night. It's not like, you can still play, it's not absolutely unplayable. It's just that it's not going to be as smooth as if you're on the European servers, but yeah, we played quite a few games last night. We had some good games. We were against the same people quite a lot, weren't we? So,
that's
quite good.
Yeah, yeah.
It actually made it quite good, though, because it was kind of like the old Gears days, you know, you kind of learn how people, the different members of the opposite team and how they play. And
yeah, you develop those rivalries.
Yeah, the rivalries and stuff, so.
Did
we win two and like lose two or something like that? I think we won won a couple, lost a couple, so we did all right, to be fair.
Matty and Perks won't be shocked to hear as well that Bobby Parry, every time he got killed, was getting like teabagged. I think they decided that they didn't like him and he was a cheat.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Pretty much.
Literally
just,
everyone.
It's just something written into the code of his internet router that makes him a cheat.
Yeah, if you come up against Bobby Parry, yeah, good luck.
Oh, we should test it. I really just want to play Gears 1 in the next few days and just stand there with a bolt-off pistol and just shoot each other in the body and see how long it takes, because it will take two extra shots to kill him every time.
Well, they don't call him Bobby Bullshit for no reason, do they?
Yeah, exactly. If he's on that home connection where people in Asia have better connections to us than he does when he lives, like, I don't know, a couple of, what, miles away?
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. It's crazy level of connection.
It's been good, though, to be fair. I've been playing quite a lot of Gears 5 the last 2-3 days. The start of Operation 3, or whatever they want to call it. The start of the season.
They brought back canals.
Yeah, they brought back canals that we can't find.
Yeah, haven't found
the game
yet.
It's ridiculous. It's like they've accidentally not included the new maps in the playlist or something. It's so weird.
The only thing I saw is that you could Batista bomb people, so
yeah, you can.
That's the only reason that I'd want to play that dead franchise anymore.
Yeah, that gets old pretty quick, though, if it's happening to you.
Yeah, because everyone can do it.
Getting executed. Yeah.
What,
so, like,
is it the equivalent of a chainsaw?
Yeah, like, I've seen like Queen Mira doing it and stuff, and it's just like, what is it's just so stupid.
I thought only Batista would be able to do it, but apparently no.
You have to have
someone down to be able to do it.
Or yeah, it's an execution.
Right.
Could you imagine if it was just like a chainsaw?
Run into people.
Hold LB. Kick him in the gut and then Batista
bomb. That would be significantly better.
But it's so weird how the bodies explode as well. God. Like, they just explode.
They get just like the deceased one.
Yeah. I mean, it is quite funny when you first see it. To be fair, though, we've seen quite a few. They've added quite a lot of funny animations, haven't they?
They have.
They've got, like, punts now. People, like, can punt your head off and stuff like that.
However, that animation leaves you very vulnerable because he does the punt and, like, just kind of walks a little bit.
There's like the animation where there's the torpo animation, isn't there, where someone fires a torpo directly in the air and stuff and it lands on your head and executes you. There's a lot of weird ones now, but it does add something to the game, I guess. But
yeah, it does help. Obviously as well, we played a little bit of F1 Sud.
Yeah.
Got that season nearly done.
Bit of a nightmare last night, wasn't it? Some of them races.
It was. We ended on a high, though, didn't we? Oh, no, we didn't. No, we didn't.
Well, no, we didn't.
I finished fifth, and then the game said I finished ninth. So
yeah, there was a glitch in the game where it said, like, someone did a lap 20 seconds faster than everyone else and stuff. Like, yeah, of course they did. But it's probably because I crashed into people on purpose.
Yeah, you went kamikaze, didn't you?
I went kamikaze. I got spun out. And I mean, you played as well, mate. You know, on that game, when you get spun out, you just get that rage and just want to smash into people. So I just smashed into, like, whoever it was, like Sebastian Vettel or whatever, and just caused, like, a 10-car pileup. So,
yeah.
And then, to be fair, you benefited from it at first because you gained, like, 5 places, but then it said you finished 9th anyway. So,
yeah, it was pointless.
I guess that was karma for us cheating, I guess.
But, yeah, it was. But how about. How about the other guys, Perks and Mighty, what have you been playing? I think I've seen you guys playing Rocket League yesterday.
Yeah, well, yeah, speaking of rage.
Yeah.
Well, my quarantine circumstances mean that I'm playing on a TV in which I can very rarely see more than half of the screen. And that's due to the glare, and there's nothing
just
I can do
about
it.
Just wear some sunglasses, mate. What are you talking about?
How does that affect the screen?
You keep moaning about the sun. Every time the sun
just
comes
be like Stevie Wonder sat there playing games.
Yeah.
So, yeah, unfortunately, that didn't go so well. I mean, I'm not exactly the most committed to hitting the ball in the most optimal way on Rocket League anyway. I'm always trying to pull off the incredible, but when I can't see the ball half the time, that just makes it even more difficult. So we didn't do that well, but hey, when one of your players is impaired like that, what are you supposed to do?
No, it's tough going, then, let's be fair.
That is a new one for a gamer. I mean, it's usually lag, and now it's...
I can't even begin to tell you. And honestly,
you just added
it's so
a pile
depressing.
Of excuses, really, at this point.
So, well, I'll quite happily record some footage for you guys, and you can see what I'm having to deal with here. It's horrific. Yeah, especially when it's someone like me, when I absolutely lose my mind when games don't go well. Like, I'm there trying to play competitive games, and I can't even see the screen. Like, literally can't even see the screen. So, it could be better, but hey, quarantine problems.
Well, yeah.
At least you got a screen, I guess.
Yeah.
Maya, I saw you playing Devil May Cry 5 quite a bit the last few days.
Yeah, well, I thought I finally might as well get around to completing it, obviously, an old game.
What's your thoughts on it?
Now the dust has settled on it a bit, it's just like, I don't really like it, to be honest.
Really?
I like playing as Dante, but the actual game drags out a hell of a lot.
Similar opinion to what I had back in the day when we reviewed that.
Yeah, I think the actual gameplay, though, to be fair, is really good. They've done a good job with that, didn't they?
But, not really. I don't enjoy playing as Nero or V. It's exactly
the
same.
Yeah, I've
got
to be honest.
V
was definitely. I think V was definitely the worst to play. I mean, I know what they tried to do. I understand what they were trying to do with that, but yeah, playing as Dante definitely. I think is the best part of the
game.
But
it was literally exactly the same in Devil May Cry 4. I hated the first half of the game and liked the second half of the game.
Second half's better.
Like, I don't know why they just keep getting the main character and hiding him away and letting you play like 4 missions of every game.
It's kind of weird, that, isn't it?
Just get over it.
Yeah.
Dante's everyone's favourite character.
Yeah, it does seem maybe they should have done.
Well, what I don't even like is, I know they've tried to make this attempt to make Nero a bit more fun to play as in this one, obviously with the Devil Breakers.
Yeah.
But even with that, he's just nowhere near as interesting. You've got like four different play styles that you can switch on the fly with Dante. And then with Nero, you just, God, it's just boring, honestly. Your arm breaks half the time. You're just running around with no arm.
Annoying. I do remember that.
What's the point in this? Literally, he feels so underpowered compared to Dante, and it just doesn't fit with the actual story. Because in the story, you're supposed to believe that Nero is, like, you know, as powerful, basically.
So,
but he doesn't feel as powerful.
I assume every time you get a choice between the three or whatever, you just choose Dante every time. If it's like
when there's a choice, the hierarchy is Dante, Nero, and then V, and V's just like somewhere in the dirt. This is probably one of the most boring playable characters I've ever used in any game.
Well, yeah, you don't even really fight, do you? You basically
summon those beasts
or whatever to fight for you. So
it's a really cool idea, but the execution, didn't really come off, but. Then again, I get the impression that the majority of hardcore DMC players probably loved V, so I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
didn't
know.
Really hit for us, but yeah.
Yeah, the game in general is good, but I understand where you're coming from with the...
I mean, it's an older game, and I think a lot of people will be doing the same thing, revisiting old games they haven't had a chance to play because of, you know, life, so...
Now is the perfect time to do stuff like that.
It is.
However, we'll jump into the first topic of the day, and it's a pretty disappointing one, to be honest, but it's The Last of Us Part 2, delayed indefinitely. No new release date has been set. A tweet from Sony said, update... Sigh has made the difficult decision to delay the launch of The Last of Us Part 2 and Marvel's Iron Man VR until further notice. Logistically, the global crisis is preventing us from providing the launch experience our players deserve. So, this is quite disappointing, obviously, because depending on how long this goes, could have been nice to have a Last of Us Part 2 to distract us. But are you guys surprised at all?
Not really. I think we expected, didn't we, that there was going to be game delays anyway in this period. I mean, it's funny, though, because this game's already been delayed. Like, it feels like forever, doesn't it? It feels like it should have been out like a year ago or something, but cause it got delayed from last year into this year, and then it got another delay into May from March or whatever it was supposed to come out. So it's a bit disappointing it's been delayed like four times, but...
Yeah,
I mean, it makes more... At least this one makes more sense, obviously, with what's going on and everything. I mean, it's funny, though, because their reasoning for it, though, was that they didn't think... They wouldn't be able to provide enough physical copies, basically. And that was what... That was what they were saying, that... Because a lot of people were saying, well, surely you could just release it digitally and then release it physically later, which... I guess they could have done, but I guess it's all about money. Money talks, isn't it, and things like this, and they probably don't want to... They're going to want all their sales at once, aren't they?
Yeah, there's a big revenue stream to lose.
Because I know people say the rise of digital and all that, and I think that is true, that digital is increasing, but I'm going to presume still a decent proportion of their sales would come from physical copies, so...
I always wonder, though, you know, with a game like this, with how big it is, its following's massive as well, could they have not turned it into some sort of, like, event? Like home event, you know, like if the football wise, if the Premier League comes back and those matches are on TV, they're going to get such big viewership, aren't they?
Yeah.
Viewing numbers. Could they not have done that with this game? Promoted it heavily on the store and, you know, people bored, nothing else to do, are going to probably buy it.
I think the reality here with this game is that it's not ready.
You think that's what the truth is?
Yeah, that's exactly. If the game is ready, it would be put out digitally. If their sales are reduced or they feel that a lot of people can't access it, which they've said in the statement, that would be a so be it scenario. It would be there and it would be accessible to whoever really wanted it on the store. So it's not ready. They talk about how they're in the final stages of mopping up the last few bugs here and there, and that's pretty much all they said on it. But we're not talking here about a waster of a game. We're talking about probably the biggest game of this year, probably the game of the year. If it was ready, they would put it out.
If you're looking at it from a financial perspective, it doesn't make any sense to not release it digitally, because the amount of extra money that they'd make from people being forced to buy it for £60 on the digital store would far outweigh, you know, the benefit of everyone having it at the same time.
Yeah, see, I would usually agree with you, and I do kind of agree to a certain extent, but at the same time, I don't know if it is due to the game not being ready, because the game has already been delayed three times. It's not like, you know, it's not been delayed before.
And there you go. Like, that applies to everything.
I'm not sure about that, because if you read the article, it's not the only game that's been delayed. That Iron Man VR game or whatever also got delayed.
They are absolutely gutted about that.
No, I'm not bothered about that. I don't care about the game. That's my point. I don't care about that.
That's the big talking point
from
this.
No, but my point is, that's a game that they're like making as well. That's one of their games as well. So it's like, I think the big deciding factor whether I'm right or you're right will be if Ghost of Tsushima gets delayed. Because that game is coming out in late June, is it? So they haven't said anything about that yet. But if that gets delayed as well, then I think we can start saying, well, it's obviously because of what's going on and... Well, not wanting to lose out on physical sales, I assume.
Perks might be onto something, because surely, because they haven't given a new release date, and surely if it was because of the pandemic or global crisis, that they would push it back and maybe try and release in June or July, maybe try and release in August, because people would understand if they said, well, we're going to release it in July because we want people to get the physical copies as well. And then,
well, they still might, to be fair.
Well, yeah, I know, but
they might, but they clearly don't have a confidence to it. It's an indefinite delay.
But we don't. But that's because we don't have a confidence to when this crisis is going to end, though, do we? Let's be honest.
No.
So it's quite hard than to put a date, I think, on it. Like,
but this is the perfect time. This is the perfect time to turn around and go, yeah, the game's not ready, actually. Yeah, but there's a global crisis. We'll say that's the reason. People get pissed off if we keep saying it, you know, it's not ready.
Well, the thing is, whether you're right or not about was it ready, the fact that the game probably won't come out for another 3 or 4 months at least means they're going to do extra work on it now anyway, aren't they?
Yeah, they're going to probably go back and do extra work. Is that they're not going to need, or I'm sure they still probably will, because that's game development for you. But hey, they're not going to need the last minute crunch pushing it all out for the, because it was already supposed to come out in, like, was it February 22nd or 20th?
Something like that. Yeah. The end of Feb, I think.
So they've already, like, missed that in the past. So yeah. They missed that, what would have been crunch. They're going to miss this, what would have been crunch, to get it out, I'm sure, in time. And now they will have still a crunch, but just less of one, because they'll have more time to.
They did say it's still going to be a crunch, pandemic.
Yeah, it still will be, because that's just AAA game development. We all know the story.
Well,
I'm
the situation with a lot of them working at home, so obviously it makes it harder anyway.
Yeah, because I'm not so quick to give that as an excuse.
Well, I would, because I'd say that if you're in a studio, you know, everyone's there together. Everyone can work out problems. You know, if you're remotely working from home, it's obviously there's going to be a slight lag in terms of, you know, people being able to interact. You know, it's not quite as simple as just saying, well, they're at home, they should be able to do what they want. You know, I think there is obviously going to be slight. I'm not saying it's a massive thing, but I think it's probably maybe a slightly bigger delay because of that.
I would give some leniency to working at home, but let's be fair here. We're talking about the best of the best in the industry.
They will have
this figured out. Loads of game studios, the devs are working from home successfully during the period. So I'm not one to turn around and say, hey, guys, they're working from home. Let's cut them some slack. We'll give them 6 to 9 months or whatever. If the game was ready, it would have been out. And yeah, that's my take on it. I wonder
how much more burnout would be impacted when you're working from home instead of in the studio. You think they'll burn out quicker working at home? And they're in the crunch time.
I don't know, it's hard to say that. It's a tough one to say, really.
Because obviously when you're at home sometimes and doing work, and if you just like, oh, I need a break, you just take it.
Yeah, true.
I guess it depends on the individual. Some people will thrive from feeling like they're not really at work, being at home, and some much prefer getting their head down in the office.
I think the reason why I'm a little bit more sceptical about, say, because I don't think this is going to... The thing is, Chris, I don't think this is going to be the only game that gets delayed in this period. That's why I'm a little bit more sort of... I don't think it's just a Last of Us problem. You've already seen... I think that was like Minecraft Dungeons game got like delayed by 2 months. That was supposed to come out like on Game Pass or whatever 2 weeks ago or a week ago, and that got delayed by 2 months. So there's been quite a few, and I think there's another game that Xbox, Wasteland 3 or something, got delayed to like August. That was supposed to come out in like March, April. So I think there is going to be a lot more. I'm predicting that. So I think Cyberpunk will get delayed again.
September.
Yeah, and there's even been rumors that Halo Infinite could even get delayed. So, I'm not sure if it is just a Sony or a Last of Us problem. I think you might be right in terms of oh, this has come at a good time. We can use this as like an excuse, if you want to call it that. Maybe that's what you're getting at more than
anything. It's not an excuse, but it's a convenience.
Of
avoiding having to come out and say we need a little bit more time. If the game is done, it will be out. And that goes for Cyberpunk, and that goes for Halo, and any other game, whether it's AA, AAA, quadruple A, in the words of Phil Spencer. If games are ready, and they are polished, and they are finished to an extent of release, they will be on the store.
But the distribution is the problem, isn't it? It's not
from the store.
Well, that's not what...
The physical distribution, sure, like, digital distribution is a lot easier to pull off than physical distribution.
Yeah, like, digitally, obviously that's not a problem at all, but a lot of these companies clearly don't want to release digitally and then physically after. I mean, that's the evidence we're seeing. I mean, there's clear evidence. I mean, that's what they say in the article, don't they, pretty much? That's what they say in their statement, that they don't want to sort of segregate it into... digital only, and then physical later. I mean, that's what they say.
This is where I get into the excuse realm, because it's like they're talking about not wanting to separate players and having like X group of players playing digitally on release and then Y group of players playing 4 months down the line when they might pick up a physical version. there is no way, like Matty touched on before, there is no way they're going to let that revenue just sit there and wait just for the, I don't know, for the good of the players. Like, come on, man. Like, I'm being cynical here, but I have no doubts we'll see games put out on Microsoft Store, on the Sony Store. PC games will have the same, whether it's via Steam or another client. If games are ready, they're going out like during this period. If it's in the next 2 weeks, 2 months, 6 months, we will see digital only releases because companies are going to have to do it.
This is a good time to do it. People,
yeah, this is
things
the
to
best
play.
Time to do it.
Yeah, if yeah, you I, say, I, look, physical copies are going to be coming later in the year when they can and when it's safe to do so. But at the moment, here it is on the store. People definitely would go to it. However, just touching, I'd be really surprised if Halo was delayed. This would be perfect time for Microsoft because to push like Game Pass and stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
it
assuming
would, but,
that they all first party goes onto Game Pass. So,
well, I mean, I'm just going off the fact that Phil Spencer kind of hinted that the hardware would come. I mean, I know we'll get onto this in a minute with our next story, but. Yeah, I'll probably leave it, actually. I'll leave that bit, actually, for the next story, because that's with the Phil Spencer in the next story. But, yeah, there's been hints, anyway, that companies don't want to do that. I mean, we've seen evidence of that already. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe there will be. There obviously will be digital-only games that come to the store. There's always games coming out every week, isn't there? I mean, a lot of them are trash, but there's always games every week that come to the store. Like, indie games won't get affected, because they're smaller games, anyway. They don't require, you know, as much. So a lot of them studios work with sort of two or three people and stuff, so...
Well, most of those games don't release physically anyway.
Well, no, exactly. Yeah,
true. Nothing changes in that respect.
But I think for physical and digital games, like big AAA games, I'm just warned that I wouldn't be shocked if a lot of these games get delayed because of what's going on. I just think they all seem to be saying about distribution. That's the word I keep hearing about when they're talking about, you know, the physical copies. And maybe you're right. Maybe eventually they get to a point where they just go, ah, we just have to bite the bullet and release digitally first. But we've not seen, until we see evidence of that, then I don't think we can say for certain that that's definitely going to happen.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I understand what you mean. I also agree with you that... I actually agree with you. I think they could... I don't quite understand why they haven't just gone, we'll release The Last of Us 2 digitally. I agree.
Really,
I don't understand it either.
It's a really beneficial time to push your digital sales and release a good game that people are going to flock to. So, I don't know.
Surprising.
It will be interesting to see.
We'll find out in due course, I think, won't we? We'll find out in the next few weeks with I assume, more games getting delayed. I'm going to assume that's going to probably happen.
I honestly don't get why you'd be delaying games if they are ready. So I think I do fall more on the side of perks.
Well, I mean, we can all understand the physical side getting delayed, can't we? Because obviously that is a genuine problem.
Yeah, that needs to be delayed.
Physical copies can't get to places they need to be in. Like, absolutely no problem with that.
It is the digital side, I guess, we're a bit more cynical as to why. It's strange. It is a strange one. It is strange, but like, I guess that's what's happening at the minute. So we'll just have to wait. We'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
As we always say,
time will tell.
Time
as
will
we
tell.
Say here on the Checkpoint Reach podcast,
because time always does tell.
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, anyway, we'll move on to topic number two, and that is Xbox Series X versus PS5. Phil Spencer feels really good about power and price. He said, "No doubt, I felt really good about how Series X lines up. I will definitely have respect for any platform team that's launching. It just takes a lot of work, but I will say, when we finally saw the public disclosure, I felt even better about the choices that we made on our platform, and I kind of expected that I would." That's obviously after the PS5. Sony reveal, or spec reveal, I guess. So yeah, Phil Spencer's in good mood. Even if the console was shit, he probably would still say that it's he's excited about it, so no surprise here.
No surprises, really, but you know, it is one of them we've discussed on the, you know, a separate podcast about the specifications in detail, and it's pretty obvious to anyone, you know, with eyes at this point, that the Xbox Series X is more powerful, and Sony can sit there and talk about an SSD all they want, but like, they've been beaten in the power battle, so it all just comes down to games now, really.
Do you think it's going to have a big impact on the sales of consoles, the power play?
There will be people who buy it just for the sake of power alone, but it won't be very, very big. Most of those people are usually PC gamers anyway. But, you know, it just proves from the start that the whole power debate was only a debate because it was Sony that was winning.
Yeah, that did seem to be a thing early on in the last, obviously, well, I say last generation.
Well, it wasn't a thing. People were obsessed. Every comment section was 720p box and 900p box, and it's like the difference between 900p and 1080p. Yeah. And if your game was running at 900p, you should just, you know, go and kill yourself because it's so bad. It's embarrassing.
There's literally no doubt, embarrassing.
And we can sit here all we want and talk about how this wasn't a thing and try and like knock it off like it didn't happen, but you can't come in all guns blazing saying it's all about the games when you spent 10 years saying that 900p versus 1080p was such a big difference. You know, this is the bottom line. PS5 is going to be weaker than Xbox Series X. Done.
Yeah. Well, I
now
think
let's talk about the games.
Yeah, you're definitely
and shut
right,
up
though,
about everything else.
The narrative definitely shifted, hasn't it, in the last probably 2 or 3 years. I remember at the start of the generation for the first 2 years, there was all this like, everyone was obsessed with Digital Foundry, weren't they, in these comparisons. And I remember on message boards, people were like, oh, the Xbox runs at 724p or something, and like, compared to the PS4 at like 800p. And it was like, yeah, who cares? It just doesn't even matter. But yeah, I don't know. I think obviously we know the Xbox. I think we all assumed anyway the Xbox was going to be more powerful. Phil's obviously confident that it's going to be a powerful machine. Both going to be, a lot more powerful. You know, both of them are going to be a lot more powerful than what we've got now. That's the key takeaway from all this, to be honest with you. They're both going to be a massive upgrade on what we've already got. It's just the Xbox is going to be a slightly bigger upgrade. But like Marty said, I mean, it is going to influence the sort of maybe, 5% of players that are hardcore into the sort of having the most powerful machine. Although you also did say that a lot of people will just probably still get the most best PC, because PC will always still be better than whatever, you know, consoles can do. But I think you're right, the games are now what people want to focus on. It's still the area that Microsoft are, let's be quite honest, a long way behind. I mean, they're not just a little bit behind, they're a long way behind in the games front.
Yeah, they've got a lot of work
to do in that front. I'm not sure they'll be able to bridge the gap in this generation, to be honest with you, fully. I think it'll be, I mean, it should, I mean, let's be honest, it can't be a much worse generation for Xbox in terms of exclusive games, can it? Next gen, I mean,
let's hope
they barely did anything in the current
gen. So, you know, it has to be an improvement on that. They're coming from a pretty low base. So I think the gap might, like, close a little bit, but I still think you're going to get the best premium exclusive games on PlayStation. But, you know, some people don't care about that anyway. Some people, if you want to just play mostly third-party games, then maybe Xbox will be the choice next gen. But I think
it's
still going to
be an interesting one.
It's still early to tell, because we haven't even seen the PS5. We haven't even seen the box. We haven't seen the prices of these consoles. We don't know the launch lineups. Obviously, coronavirus could impact the launch lineups now.
Coronavirus? So,
yeah, I mean,
coronavirus could impact
the
launch itself.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think Phil said that they're still on track for holiday 2020, but I listened to that interview and he didn't sound 100% convincing to me. You know, when you kind of tell by someone's face, they look like they're squirming a little bit with that when they say, oh, yeah, we're still on track. It looked to me like there's a bit of wiggle room there.
Squeaky bum time.
So, yeah, so I wouldn't be surprised if they both get delayed, but we'll see.
I think the consoles won't be delayed. I just think they'll ship out in very limited numbers on day one.
Yeah, I mean,
they'll be very, very hard to get hold of.
He said he doesn't want a situation where, like, America gets it first or Europe gets it first. So he's pretty much guaranteed that it will be a global launch. But like you said, I mean, just because it's a global launch, you know, some territories might only get, like, 50,000 copies of it or something ridiculous. So, yeah, I think America, obviously, and Europe will still take priority over the rest of the world. But, yeah, it could be really limited amounts, which, it'll be a little bit like the Nintendo Wii situation, if you remember, it was absolutely impossible to get one if you didn't get the one.
All I would say to obviously anyone who wants to buy one of the next gen consoles on launch is, as soon as the pre-orders come up, you're gonna have to pre-order it the
hour or the second they come up. Yeah, because you're not gonna get one if you don't.
Are you guys gonna be pre-ordering straight away?
I mean,
I imagine so.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we don't know fully the price and things like that yet, so I guess, you know, we don't know the full details, but whichever one we go for, yeah, I assume we'll probably end up pre-ordering it then, if you want it then, I guess. So.
Yeah, I will always say here, like, I intend to, but the reality is that I will. Maybe it'll get cancelled, but I already know I'll be there as soon as it goes live.
Yeah. So
yeah, I was just saying, I think the key thing is going to be the two companies' actual reveal events for the console. I mean, we've obviously seen the Xbox Series X, but there's still an entire E3 conference that they've got that they're not able to do now, that they're going to have to turn into a digital event, and it's pretty much the same with Sony. So
Phil Spencer did actually mention in the interview, he did say that probably a hint actually we'll hear things quite soon, because he did say like now's the time so that people want to be seeing games and stuff like that. So that digital event, I guess we're presuming it had been a similar type time slot to E3, maybe end of May, start of June. I would say that's pretty safe.
Maybe even push forward just the current situation. I mean, literally the whole world is watching because they've got nothing better to do. So
I think you'll see other companies do it as well. Like the third party developers, some of the ones that we're going to go to E3 will probably end up doing it as well. So it's exciting times for us, I guess, because we get to see next gen games. I mean, we might not be able to play many of them this year if they all get pushed to 2021, but at least we'll get to see some, you know, what some companies have been working on. You know, there's a lot of Microsoft studios that are rumored to be doing different things. So, and they've got like 15 in the pipeline now. So, I mean, we might be disappointed. we might be on this podcast in 6-7 weeks saying, oh God, that was terrible. Look, they're making more like AA. That is my worry about Xbox. I still feel I'm a little bit worried about this whole, are they all making AA games and things like that, apart from sort of the Gears, Forza, Halo?
I don't think so, because you would have seen them in the start of this gen. I think a lot of these developers have been taken on board with the explicit instruction to go and make next-gen games.
Yeah. I mean, well, look,
we saw the brief, didn't we, a while back of the job advertisement that was posted on the, I can't remember which site it was, but it said we need help making a Horizon Zero Dawn type game.
Yeah, that was for the Initiative, wasn't it?
That's their quadruple A or whatever, list marketing spiel.
It just had an inverted commas. Jesus, like, it can't get any worse than that. But yeah,
I guess we can be sure they're making a AAA game. But
I don't know about you guys. I understand that, you know, Xbox has gone down a path of an amazing pro-consumer path of, we're going to let you take your games with you, we're going to make as many games as possible work across as many different Xbox consoles as possible. I just feel like making Halo Infinite only for Series X would have been such a big driver to push console sales.
Yeah, I just don't know if they care about that anymore, though. I don't think they care about console sales.
Family, don't they? Family, they just care about consoles and all.
And let's be honest, Mike, how well is Halo Infinite going to do on Steam and stuff like that? Like,
if it releases day and date on Steam, I don't think it will. It's usually Microsoft Windows or whatever.
But if I was them, honestly, I'd probably just release it on Steam. Well, I actually would, because I think they'd get. I don't know if you saw, but when the Master Chief Collection went on Steam, it was like the top selling game for like a month straight.
Yeah, it's not surprising.
So if I was them, I probably would just release it on Steam. At the end of the day, if they're going with this whole, like, oh, we're releasing everything on PC, just release it on the biggest platform. You may as well.
A lot of their franchises, if they cross clients like that.
I'm not saying it would be a bad move, but they'd basically be killing their own store by doing that.
No, I agree with you. I don't think they'll do it either. It'll be one of them things where it's like, oh, it comes to Steam a year later or whatever. Yeah, I mean, they will do that, but Does it make a difference, though?
Like, they're still making money. I think if they're smart, they should have accepted by now that the Windows Store is dead.
Yeah.
You know, it's pointless.
Does anyone even use it?
What?
Does anyone even use it? The Windows Store?
Well, it's like the Microsoft Store, hasn't it? They have revamped it a little bit. Like, they've got the, but it's still like nowhere near the levels of like Steam and or even the Epic Store, to be honest with you. I think they're both probably more popular.
And that's saying something.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's not very popular. I'm saying is
they've accepted defeat on that front, so I agree with you said it would make the most sense to release it to the most amount of consumers possible, and that is through Steam.
I just think it makes so much more money. I mean, how many more sales are you talking about if you release on Steam? You're talking millions more sales, so.
Look, the main drivers. The main drivers for Microsoft is Game Pass and Xbox Live Gold. You know, as long as they're getting a lot of subscriptions on that, which they will if the games are good, like that's their main money-making scheme.
I will say, though, that I think you're going to see, and rightly so, obviously, there's going to be like new records on Game Pass when that game comes out in terms of subscribers and, you know, how many users are on a game and stuff. You're probably going to see ridiculous numbers for the game, to be honest, especially if it's, you know, one of the only decent launch games as well, if it even comes out. launch.
Well, Game Pass has only been out for a year, but it's like, you know, you talk about must-haves, and like must-haves, if you have a PS4, must-have exclusives. The only must-have thing on Xbox is Game Pass. I would argue it is by far and away the best value deal.
That is their exclusive.
That isn't like a marketing spiel. It is like really, really good value.
Oh yeah, no doubt. I mean, Game Pass is great. I'm not, you know, I think that's one area actually where, well, I mean, it's obvious. It's one area where Sony are lagging behind quite a lot because, you know, they've got like PS Now and they're streaming stuff, and PS Now is not good. I mean, I've tried streaming through it. It's laggy. It's horrible.
But it doesn't make sense to do a similar thing on PlayStation, because
you don't think they will.
They won't make. You know, to make it worthwhile, they're going to need to put all their first-party games on, and they're not going to risk losing all those millions of full-price sales.
They're tempted to do it, though. Part of them must be tempted to do it, thinking like how much money they could make as well.
I don't know. It's harder to say with them because they're still so heavily invested in a lot of single-player exclusives, and people will just get a free trial of like PlayStation Plus, you know, 2 or whatever.
Play all the games.
Play all the games, and then just get rid of the console.
Do you think they might not launch one but not have first-party exclusives on there?
Possibly.
Potentially, but it reduces the value of it massively.
Or they might do something where, we release first-party games, I don't know, 6 months after launch or something like that.
Yeah,
so that they still get the initial... They might do that even. It might actually make sense to do it like that, because then they'll still get the initial massive sales, but then they'll get way more people subscribing.
I feel like they should have something, because, like you touched on,
I think they will have
Game Pass is amazing. It's such good value for money.
I would be absolutely shocked if they didn't have some sort of Game Pass system on their console next gen. It's just the way everything's going, subscription-based.
Well, they already have. They're invested in PlayStation Now, aren't they?
PlayStation Now. But, I mean, I think they will have a proper... Yeah, I mean, but I think they'll have an even more Game Pass-like service where they include the subscription as well of PlayStation Plus. I think they're going to have that, because that's the way everything's going, combining everything into one fee. I wouldn't even be surprised if they do a system like Microsoft, is it the Xbox All Access, where you buy the console, $24.99 a month or whatever, and you get the console or the subscription. I wouldn't be surprised if they even try something like that, to be honest, because that's the way that's going with consoles, kind of monthly base pay. That's clearly going to be a big thing in 5-10 years' time.
I can't believe how well they've done actually with it, Microsoft. I mean, remember when we first heard about it?
Game Pass.
Yeah, we weren't. Yeah. I don't know. I think we were excited, weren't we? But we were a bit apprehensive because
we were thinking it was just going to be all trash games, weren't we? Like, they'll just put absolute rubbish. And there is some. Let's be honest, there's still some rubbish on there, isn't there?
Yeah, I mean, there was always.
You go through the Game Pass list, and 100 out of like the 200 games are just like whatever.
No, I mean, absolute it's the same trash, as Netflix. But, any subscription service needs its filler and needs its trash.
True. I mean, and I guess, you know, some people probably won't find some of them games trash. So I guess, you know, that's a good thing. But there's been a lot of good third-party games on there, especially, hasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, recently.
It really has.
And there's games that maybe we all wouldn't have tried out that we have, so...
I know that's 100% true.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that will continue to improve. It seems to be improving every few months. There's even better sort of games. Games are coming quicker to the service as well. From day and day. And, you know, having, you know, even a game like Gears 5, I mean, that was a great game to have in Game Pass, wasn't it? A game like that.
Mate, the amount of times, like, we've been talking, say, with the Parry Bros or whatever, and it's just like, oh, yeah, by the way, such and such is on Game Pass. And they're like, oh, it's on Game Pass. Like, get it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
So, that's been great, and it's going to be massive for Xbox next gen. You know, they're going to double down on it. I think they'll make it even better. I think they've probably got things in the pipeline with it that are probably even more exciting.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that because Phil's hinted at this as well. He keeps saying in interviews about, oh, we've got more stuff to show with Game Pass and we're excited about it. And I think they are going to try and do even more crazy things with it, which will be good, hopefully good for the consumer and good for us. So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's weird because I've been sort of obviously, you know, I'm probably going to get a PS5 and all this, but I don't know. Sony really, they have been a bit disappointing so far. Well, they've been disappointed. Look, I'm not going to make a definitive decision. There's still a long way to go. We need to see the price and see the box. But I think that's the best way to be, surely, at this stage.
Apple crumble.
Oh, yeah, but, you know, I don't think it's good to make a definitive decision right now anyway. I don't think anyone can make a definitive decision now because
you don't even know how much it's going to cost either way. So
exactly.
It's impossible.
You know, one could be like $400 more than the other. It's not going to happen, but you never know. So
I thought you were 99.9%
I was
PlayStation, though.
I was, but you know, things change, don't they? And Xbox are doing good things, and they're saying the right thing at the minute. That's their messaging is clear at the minute. That's the difference.
You know what I think is really funny here? We're all talking for the last, like, I don't know, 20 minutes or so about how well Microsoft are doing here, and we're excited about their future, and we take it back to the very top where we're talking about Phil Spencer's interview and how he's saying we've got a winning mindset, or it feels like we've got a winning strategy here, and he's really excited and this, that, and the other, coming across really confident. And yet I guarantee all of us right now would say Sony will win the next gen.
Yeah, they will win the next gen.
They're going to sell The games are going to be better. Like, we already know probably. It's absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, but we know that. So, and isn't it?
They set the games up in PS4, though.
Sony will win the next generation. They will sell more consoles. It's just, they've got the casual market now that Microsoft gave up, basically.
Well, it's not even that. You know, they've got a legacy that spans back, you know, 30 years. And they've always, you know, they're the highest selling console manufacturer. You know, they've sold more consoles than Nintendo, which is ridiculous. Yeah. You know, it's like, there is, like, no end to Sony's, like, power in the console market. That PlayStation brand is so extremely strong. Yeah. But I, at the end of the day, I, you know, I've touched on this before, talking to Perks off air is, you know, at the end of the day, it's about how much money you make. And I think if you go into customer engagement stats, I think you'd find that on average, Xbox players would spend a lot more on the actual platform. You know, PlayStation always sells strongly, but the amount of PlayStations I just see sitting under someone's TV covered in dust and they haven't used for 2.5 years, like that just seems to be the fate that most of them are consigned to. And that's exactly what, you know, Sid was saying, that they capture the casual market. There's obviously a massive section of hardcore PlayStation gamers as well, and shout out to them. You know, great, you followed the console for a long time, and you're going to continue to do so. I feel the same way about Xbox, but PlayStation has always managed to successfully capture the casual market, and that's the market that the 360 managed to capture, you know, 10 years ago, and that's what made it do so well and drove so many sales.
Yeah.
Well, it's like you know, everyone, a friend of mine, Duff, you guys know him, he's such a casual gamer, and he doesn't really play games. He might play GTA every now and then. He's got a kid now, stuff like that. He'll still probably get the next PlayStation. He's got PS4, but he'll just buy it. And it, like you said, it'll gather dust.
Yeah, a lot of people do that, don't they? A lot of people, it's like, oh, well, it's a new PlayStation. At some point over the next 5 years, I'll use it a few times. So I'll buy it now, sort of thing, yeah. A lot of people do that, and... Yeah, there's probably a lot of people that do that with Xbox as well. I mean, you know, there's a lot of casuals probably on both, let's be perfectly honest.
The percentages are way up in the PlayStation market, that's all. Yeah. Like, there will be some ghost Xboxes out there that float around and do nothing, but the percentage share of PlayStations is just so much higher.
Yeah, I think, well, I mean, you're going to get that anyway, aren't you, with more consoles sold. I think that probably happened with 360 as well, to a certain extent last gen. There was probably a lot of 360s. Yeah, people weren't using and stuff.
Well, they weren't using them because they all had red bloody rings.
Well, yeah, that's a good point. I think that is a good point. But I think in general, I think, like we've all just said in the last 10 minutes or so, you know, it's easy to say right now, yeah, Xbox, but if they don't show any decent games, if they continue this barren run of games, then all this good stuff they're doing, yeah, it's great and it's a good service and Game Pass and, you know, improving their relationship with third parties and all that. Yeah, it's great, but it's going to be all irrelevant if the games aren't there. And that is still my biggest worry. Yeah, I know Marty was saying about they're developing all these studios now, they're putting loads of money in. You'd expect them to be ramping up in terms of maybe some of these studios that were bought as AA developers are now going to be AAA, which I'm hoping happens. But, you know, we just don't know right now. There's no evidence to say otherwise right now that we can be ultra confident. So I think we have to wait and see. And it's up to them. It's on them now. It's on them to show why we should invest in them next generation.
It's such a long path as well to turn the tide, if you think about it. You got to bring out good games, hope that they get a good enough buzz for someone to think, oh, actually, I will, go and try that. Buy an Xbox to try that game and then actually stick with it. So they're not going to reap the rewards of this for a while yet.
I just want to see more single player games out of them, more focused single player. And I still wonder whether I'm actually going to get that, because I do think a lot of their games, even maybe the one from this year, I think they'll have a big multiplayer component, which is fine. Like, I don't mind games out of that, but I would love Xbox to actually make a single player only amazing game.
So would I.
And we haven't seen that for a long time. But I'm just not sure we're going to get that next gen. I'm not still convinced we're going to get that. Like, I think we'll probably get really great games, but I think there might be a lot of them that have multiplayer components to them, and that's a little bit disappointing to me.
Like we've touched on, though, before, the biggest problem is Sony have set up in the PS4 gen that basically you're going to get good first game single-player exclusives in PS5. Yeah. With PS5 and Xbox One, they didn't set any of that up. Most of them disappointed. So
I mean, that's it. There's literally no sequels that you can even think from this generation Xbox where you're like, oh, I can't wait for that. Like, Halo Infinite, I mean...
Well, you're on about, I'm well looking forward to Forza 79.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing. We are going to get one this year. There's no doubt about it. That will launch.
We get one every
year.
Well, it's horrendous. Yeah. I mean, to be fair, there wasn't a Forza last year, but...
They need to just start, like, they need to realise what Sony realised with Gran Turismo and just be like, we need to release this like every 4 years. There is a market for driving games, and especially open world, like Horizon is brilliant, but the sort of, you know, bog standard track racing game, especially with, you know, the current market of, you know, being able to update games over time, I think they just need to make one Forza for like 4 years and update it with regular updates, as opposed to releasing like, you know, five games every generation to the point where we're going to get onto like Forza 10 before Gran Turismo like 6 even comes out.
I think with Forza, I'd just like to see them revolutionise it, just make it something slightly different. Like,
apologies,
instead of it just being,
yeah, mate. Apologies if I lost count there, by the way, for any Sony fanboys after my neck on Gran Turismo 6. I think we're on like Gran Turismo 7 would be the next one.
Yeah. Yeah, but I think with Forza, we'd just like to see it change a little bit. I like Forza. I think Forza, in terms of driving, it's amazing. Like, in terms of the actual drivability of the game, even the Turn 10 ones are great, but they're just, like, the Motorsport ones are now really boring. So we just need something a bit different, I think, from them, which I hope we'll see. But
what do you think about Turn 10 making a rally game? It seems like, I don't understand why they haven't tried that at least once, you know, just as a spin-off.
Forza Rally instead of Dirt Rally or something. Yeah, why not? I mean, they could try it, couldn't they? Or at least have a big
rally. Colin McRae. That category, though, of things where you touched on it a minute ago without saying it exactly. Please do something different.
Yeah.
Just stop churning out the same garbage all the time, and with such repetition. Like, Matty has also like followed that up by saying, if it's every like 3 years, you don't get bled to death of it and just think like, oh my god, another one. It has that gap in between, and even if it's pretty much the same thing, hey, you've had 3 years. When it's a yearly release of literally nothing different,
that's
horrible. Like, well, going into the next gen, and it's not just Forza, it's their other games as well. Gears 6 needs to come and go and be left forever. Like, let it lie and move on to something else.
Yeah, it's true, though. Like, it's true. I want to see the Coalition make their own game. I want to see the Coalition make their own game.
Yeah, like, this is the gen coming for Xbox and Microsoft for me, where it's like, fair enough, they do need to wrap a couple of things up, and we know, like, Gear 6 is going to come out. That's fine. I'm not saying it shouldn't happen. But when they have tied up the loose ends of the series and the franchises that currently exist, do something else. We need to see that Horizon Zero Dawn-esque game come out, and it needs to be like that. It needs to be
as good as that.
Quadruple A new IP that we haven't seen before, that's fresh, that's innovative, that's different, and something that people actually look at and say, that's worth buying an Xbox for.
Yeah, absolutely. I think as well, that's why I'm kind of looking forward to see what Playground Games are up to with this rumoured RPG that we pretty much know is probably going to be Fable. Because, you know, I mean, I know me and Newell are pretty big Fable fans. Anyway, we like the Fable games.
Love them, mate.
Are you annoyed by that, though? Even though you do like Fable games, do you think that they've just been wasted? I mean, I know Fable's a big name and it'll move units, but why didn't they just let them loose and just say, make what you want?
But I don't think it's going to... I think it's going to be like a reboot, isn't it? It's not going to be like a Fable...
But they're still drawing on the name, you know. Is there any need for it? They need to start developing new IPs, because we've pretty much established the only IP left that is worth anything for Microsoft is Halo. The rest are pretty much all
dead. Well, Forza, I'd say Forza. The Horizon series, I mean, that does really well for them, doesn't it? As well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but Halo, it does numbers, but it isn't a big name. You know what I mean?
No.
I don't think someone's going to buy a console because of
Forza. Forza ain't selling consoles. Exactly what I was just about to say. It's not happening.
No, Halo is what sells the console. That's the thing, yeah. But you want to see them make more franchises, I guess, like Halo, don't you? For the next 10 years that can last. I think the initiative's the one we're all sort of hoping is the big thing, aren't we? because that's the one where you were... I mean, again, though, it's not necessarily going to be a new... I mean, they could reboot something.
I don't think there's even, they've even got many things left in the pipeline that they could reboot at this point.
Rumor, wasn't there? Are they going to try and reboot Perfect Dark, which probably is a good idea, but I'm just not sure if I'd want it to be that studio that does it, but...
I think people are going to be more drawn in by a new IP than Perfect Dark and Fable and stuff. We're Xbox fans and we like the Fable games, you know what I mean? Yeah. We know the Fable name, but a new Fable game isn't going to like draw someone who's never had an Xbox before into the console.
Unless it looks absolutely incredible. Quality talks though, doesn't it? In terms of even if it is a reboot, I agree. We want to see fresh IPs, but if they actually make we've talked about this before, a Witcher 3 level game in the Fable universe, I think people would be drawn to that. I really do. I think new fans would be drawn to that, even if it is a reboot or the same name. I don't think it necessarily has to be a new IP to draw people in.
Yeah, I do agree, and obviously the one thing you can guarantee with it being, Playground Games is that it'll probably look amazing, which is obviously the main draw for a lot of people. Is the first hook is for, especially for a next gen title, is that it looks incredible. So they'll have it on that front, but it's going to be interesting. I think the main take really from all of this is just wait, unfortunately.
Yeah, more waiting around.
The Sony and Microsoft event.
Hopefully they won't be too long out though now. I'm hoping that, we're going to start hearing things in the next month or two. I don't think they can really wait much longer, can they? So
there's no point. No point in waiting.
I don't think they can anyway. I think they have to get things out and they have to get things announced, because if the consoles are still coming out in 2020,
Might as well, because it's perfect time, like we said, capture people's imaginations, give them something to look forward to. Yeah. You know, it's needed at the moment, so why not?
Give us some hope here. Yeah. Even if you're only going to crush it and take it away with delays in the next few months, at least let us see what's due to come, whether it does come this year or early next. Just let us know, man. Come on, we're ready.
I mean, is there anything more depressing than just seeing everything cancelled at the moment? Do you know what I mean? Give us some hope.
Give us some good news.
Yep, and that does bring the end to the podcast, so thanks for listening as always. If you're listening to us on YouTube, please like, subscribe and comment below with your thoughts on the topics we've covered today. Also, if you're listening to us on any audio platforms, please leave us a nice review and pass on the pod to a friend, as that'll help the podcast to grow as well. You can follow the podcast on social media on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at CheckReachPod. Links will be in the description below. And you can follow the guys on social media. Where can people find you, Sud?
It's just at David10Spud.
Perky.
At JG Perks.
Matty.
At Matty Cheetah.
And you can follow me on social media on Twitter and Instagram at Leld, L-E-L-3-D's, add a 9 in the end for Instagram. Anyway, thanks for joining me as ever, guys. And Matty, thanks for coming back. Who knows, you'll probably be on more considering the isolation, so people get to hear your lovely
isolation,
voice.
Isolation, furlough,
Yep.
Fun times.
Exactly.
Well, as we said at the start of the podcast, we hope you're staying safe and healthy at the moment, and you're not too bored, but stay home best you can, and hopefully we'll get through this, and we'll be back next week to discuss some more gaming news. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.